Okay, well, how about you go with me to Psalms? So we're going to go to Psalm 16. I've mentioned over the past few weeks, I've been spending quite a bit of time in the Psalms. And I've been getting really blessed. But there are just some great, again, great things we can see regarding, just the heart of man, or a man with a humble heart, I should say. David was called a man after God's own heart. Last week we looked at humility, you remember that? And that God looks to, it was the verse where it's, where does God dwell? Well, he dwells, he's the high and lofty one, and he dwells with those who are of a contrite, a humble spirit. See, that's who God looks to. And David was a man after God's own heart. And when you read the Psalms, man, you just see what made him tick. And he was far from perfect. Far from perfect. That had nothing to do with it. But what God was after was the heart. And David, with his heart, sought God. It's fantastic. We're going to read verses where it's, where he says, I wait all day for you. Think about that. Waiting all day for God to show you what you need to, or no need to know. Isn't that something? Just that kind of relationship. And that's what God wants with us. And it really jumps out when you spend some time in the Psalms. And we're his kids, by seed. It's really incredible when you read some of these records. So we're going to start in Psalm 16. Verse 1 says, preserve me. Psalm 16, verse 1, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee. A better translation of this last phrase is, apart from thee, I have nothing good. That's something. That's heart. Apart from you, I got nothing. But to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another god, or hasten after those other gods. Their drink offerings of these other gods will I not offer, nor take up their names unto my lips. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. That's something. Maintainest my lot, it's a term referring to property. The lines of property. In other words, God has set this thing. My inheritance is him. Isn't that great? Because outside of him, I got nothing good. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Verse 7. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. What a great thing. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. See? We have God's word and we have the Spirit of God. David had the Spirit of God also. He hath given me counsel. There's a verse, we're all familiar with it, and there's no condition attached to it. And it says, God works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's something. Because you've got that life of God born within. See? It's you. It's yours. And he works in you. Sometimes you're not even aware of it. Where that Spirit of God just tugs. Why don't you do this? Okay. That worked. He just, unconditional. See? And we have that counsel of God. We have the Spirit of God, and we have His Word.
It's just, it's so awesome. My reins, or my heart, also instructs me in the night seasons. You know, this is kind of neat. You see some phrases like this, David say things like this, because what was it he was building in his heart? It was God's Word. He sought God with his whole what? His whole heart. See? Now, on the other hand, the heart can deceive above all things, right? But see, when you build that Word, when that's who you're looking to, that's who you're relying on, that's who you're trusting, isn't that something? See, and that Word talks to you when you build it in your heart. And that's really what it's talking about. That Word's talking to them. And the Word of God will talk to you when you build it in your heart. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved or shaken. See? I have done this. I have set the Lord always before me. You know, it's a great way of saying that's who He was looking at. And because of that, I will not be shaken. Who am I looking at? See? Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. You know, David was a man who lived in light of that hope. For thou wilt not leave or abandon my soul in hell or the grave. That word hell is for grave. Neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. See, isn't that awesome? You know, part of his hope was the resurrection of that Holy One from the dead. We look back on the resurrection of that Holy One, that one that God did not leave in the grave. That's something. And we look forward to his return. See? So did David. Ours is going to be a little different. Ours is a mystery. Was a mystery. But we'll see him. Verse 11. Thou wilt show me. Now these are hope verses. These are great. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures for what? Evermore. See, that's what he was looking forward to. That's a hope verse. That's speaking of, or its ultimate fulfillment is future. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Isn't that something? Pleasures for what? Forevermore. Let's go to Psalm 25. Verse 1 says, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul, my life. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed or disappointed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed or disappointed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Verse 4, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Verse 5, lead me in thy truth. Isn't that something? Show me your ways. Show me your ways. Open my eyes to your ways. Teach me thy paths. Look at the heart of this man. Show me your ways. Teach me your paths, and then lead me. Isn't that something? What a God. You know, it speaks to David's heart, but it speaks to how awesome God is. You know, you show me,
then you teach me, then you lead me. Who's always there? God's always there. Isn't that something? It's just, boy, you read this stuff, it's like, oh, you know, that kind of heart. Man. For thou art the God of my salvation, or the God of my deliverance. On thee do I wait all the day. On thee do I wait all the day. I don't quit. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have ever been of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Isn't that something? Don't, you know, when you look at me, see me according to your mercy. That's humility. You see me, look at me according to your mercy. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that fears or reverences the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. This word ease kind of sounds like, you know, lounge around. You know, believe God and get to lounge around for the rest of your life. That's not what it's saying. It's a word that means well-being. And it's wellness. You know, it's a life blessed by God. It's really what it is. It's similar to prosper. It's not just, you know, prosper meaning money, but it's in your life. See? You're blessed. You have joy. You know, all that stuff. And that's what it is. Well-being would be a good way to handle it. The secret of the Lord is with them that reverence him. This word secret, it's a word that means counsel, but it also means intimate or intimacy. That's something. And it's really thy secret. It's that intimate counsel that is only known by those who are humble to God, who reverence him. Isn't that beautiful? Just that intimate counsel. You know, where God works that in you, and you know it's him, you understand. See? It's awesome. And that is only known by those who reverence him, those who are humble to him. You know, people that tremble at his word, that kind of counsel. It's so awesome. The secret, that intimate counsel of the Lord is with them that reverence him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Isn't that something? There's some great truths here. You know, he wasn't looking for the net. Where were his eyes? See? That's where he kept his eyes. God took care of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. This word mercy is kind of neat. It means to stoop to somebody who's inferior. To stoop to an inferior. David recognized he was inferior. He was asking for God to give him mercy, to stoop to give him mercy. Isn't that something? The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they that hate me with cruel hatred. Keep or guard my soul, my life, and deliver me, and let me not be disappointed. For I put my trust in thee. Boy, you know, I love it. I just love this kind of heart and honesty. You know, Father, I'm putting my trust in you. I don't want to be disappointed. But he wasn't going to not put his trust in God. See, God was going to need to be faithful here. Not a problem. That's not a problem. Because he is the faithful God. That's who he is. Really something. Let's go to a familiar psalm, Psalm 37. I just wanted to read a few verses from this. See, again, it's what he looked at. It's where he put his trust. Verse 1, fret not thyself. And that word fret is to be angry. It's to be upset. It's to be grieved. You know, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. There's a translation, I forget which one it is. It says, for this word trust, it translates it, feed on his faithfulness. Isn't that awesome? I love that. Feed on his faithfulness. He's one who is trustworthy, and he's one that we can trust in. So we trust. We trust in the Lord. We feed on his faithfulness and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And it's kind of neat when you really understand this verse. I've heard this verse used any number of ways over the years. But one who delights in God, one who puts his trust in God, what's in his heart? And God will give thee the desires of your what? Of your heart. That's how that works. That's something. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. English Standard Version translate this, he will act. I love that. Mm-hmm. Isn't that cool? Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall act. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. See, it's going to be clear. It's going to be clear. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. See, we keep our eyes on who? We keep our eyes on God. See? Keep our eyes on the Father. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 2. We're almost done here. But it's just great to spend some time with some of these simple truths. And these are the things, you know, sometimes there's just things that come up in life where we, you know, many times, I should say, like all the time, you know, you don't know where to turn. But sometimes, you know, there are times in life where life presents things that are very challenging. It can be, you know, health. It can be different things. These are the things we want built in our heart. Just knowing that God's a faithful God. And that he's a God we can rely on. He's a God that we can confide in, that we can open our hearts to. See? You know, man, when it comes to God and when it comes to bearing your heart, you don't have to be the together Christian. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, my mind is renewed. Thank you. You know, you just, boy, when you go to the Father, you just, your heart's open. And you're, this is what you read in the Psalms. That's why I love these Psalms. You know, there's so many Psalms. Again, I know I've been bringing this up lately, but it's just so wonderful. It's so freeing, where it was like, God, where are you? You know, sometimes it feels like that. God, where are you? You're not offending God. You're his kid. You know? We don't have to play games with God. He knows anyway, doesn't he? Yeah. Right. So if you're scared, does he know you're scared?
Yeah.
So I'm gonna act like I'm not scared with God. I'm gonna show him I'm believing. Right? Oh man, it's so stupid sometimes the stuff people do. But just bare your heart. See, and he's love. He never not doesn't love us. Nothing can separate us. You know, from what we heard at manifestations, didn't we? Nothing can separate us from what we have in Christ and what he's made us in Christ. Proverbs 2. My son, if you'll receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, verse 1, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. See? That word apply is, it's almost like to bend your heart. You bend your heart to understanding. Yea, if you cry after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear or the reverence of the Lord. You're going to understand what that is. You can understand what that means. You can understand what it looks like. You can understand its benefits of reverencing the Lord. And find the knowledge of God. Isn't that something? And find the knowledge of God. So that's where we apply our heart. And that's what David did. See? And he enjoyed, because he did that, he enjoyed that intimate counsel with his God. It's pretty cool. Let's read a few more here. Let's go down to verse 9. Verse 9 of this proverb, Proverbs 2, then shalt thou understand the righteousness or the justice and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom enters into your heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. It's pleasant. You know what happens sometimes with knowledge? See, and this is all part of understanding that reverence of God. Sometimes that knowledge points out how wrong you are. It does. Sometimes that knowledge points out your weakness or where you've been wrong. But that reverence... See, this is part of what it looks like. It's where that knowledge is pleasant. It's like, ah, thanks. I am an idiot. It's okay. And I'm, you know, being humorous about it. But sometimes it's not that easy, right? But it gets in the place where it's pleasant. See, because of that reverence for God. Discretion. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. You know, that discretion, basically, it's the ability to make good decisions. You're making good decisions. Because you're walking with Him. You're walking with God. See? That intimate counsel. It's just beautiful. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man and from the man that speaks froward or adverse things. See? That's what, you know, this is just a little bit of what that what the life looks like. It's a good life. You know, I said that earlier. It's a good life. You know, when you reverence God and you're building His Word in His heart and you're looking to Him and you're trusting Him, it's not that life is carefree, but it's that you're not carrying around those cares because you're looking to God. See, those things aren't wearing you down. Let's go to Proverbs 3, and then we'll wrap this up. You need to flip a page. Proverbs 3, verse 1, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep, guard my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee." It's just a great way to state that. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Don't let them leave. It draws a mind picture. It's kind of a figurative way to say it. You know, you get mercy, you get truth from God. That's part of reverencing Him. But here it's stated, don't let them go. Hold them. Isn't that a beautiful picture? "Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart. "And lean not unto thine own understanding." See, look at the word "all" here. We trust in Him with all our heart. And then in verse 6, "In all thy ways" what? "Acknowledge Him. And He shall direct thy paths." In all, we trust Him with all our heart. And then in all our ways, we acknowledge Him. That's what we do. That's what that life looks like. That's what reverence of God looks like. And the more that we build that, the more that we reverence our God, the more we do this. See? Where it's all our heart, where it's all our ways, we acknowledge Him. Let's close in Philippians, because it kind of sounds like this one. Philippians 4. Pick it up in verse 6. It says, "Be careful." That word "careful," most of you know, is that word that means anxious, or, you know, you're uptight about it. You're distracted. It's to the end of being distracted. Okay? And this is the exhortation. Really, the exhortation and encouragement is, be careful for nothing. Okay, here's why. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication," in everything. Does that sound similar to "in all thy ways acknowledge Him"? It does, doesn't it? "In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving." Now, this, you know, with thanksgiving, it's not like, you know, I have a need or I need deliverance in a situation, and I'm thankful for that. That's not what this is saying. It's with thanksgiving because I'm requesting of who? Right. The faithful God. See? Isn't that cool? So for that reason, I'm thankful that I've got a faithful God to turn to, that I've got a faithful God to make request of. See? So with thanksgiving, "Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes or is beyond all understanding, shall keep, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Isn't that something? That peace of God, you know, that's a unique peacefulness. See? Because you're to the place where you just know of God's faithfulness. You know of His faithfulness. And you're at peace having given it to Him. having made request of him who is faithful. Isn't that neat? And it's beyond understanding that peace that comes from praying or giving it to your faithful God, to our Heavenly Father. The peace that comes from that is beyond any understanding you may think you have. See? It's knowing that God not only hears your prayer, he delights in answering those things, and he's faithful. And then we wait on who?
God.
We wait on God. See? Isn't that something? See, and that's a good life. See, and that's what David did. And again, it wasn't that David was perfect, but he was a man after God's own heart because he loved him. He reverenced God. He loved his word. He sought his counsel. See, sometimes he blew it, but he'd come back and he loved that knowledge that came from God. He was meek to it. See? Really something. So, amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to pray.